Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy that endures forever. And now, Lord, we have waited all week to hear from you. So, Lord, you need to move me out of the way. And you must give attentive hearts to your people today. Wake us up if we sleep. Channel our energies toward you and each other. And we thank you for what you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I'd like to thank the Berries for the presentation at Sabbath School on China. That was very, very informative. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. Give me a minute. My sermon is in the order of the first service, and I can't disguise it, all right? So, the title of our message for this afternoon is Roots. Roots. In 1975, while a student at Oakwood College in Huntsville, Alabama, a small group of us assembled in Moran Hall to hear this relatively unknown speaker by the name of Alex Haley. He had written the autobiography of Malcolm X, but you'd think we'd fill up Moran Hall, but we didn't. But I happened to be present there, and he was talking about at that time a project that he was working on as he was tracing his roots back to West Africa. And had I known 2 years later that it would be a miniseries and one of the most watched in the history of television, I would have remembered to get his autograph. But I didn't. Roots became one of the highest viewed shows in the history of television. 100 million people watched the last series. In fact, the only thing that topped it years later was the finale of MASH. 85% of all the televisions in the United States was watching Roots. Vernon Jordan, the president of the Urban League, said that he called it the single most spectacular educational experience in race relations in the history of America. But you know what I remembered about that miniseries? I remember, and I'm not sure why, but I remember at the beginning how the father would hold up the little baby boy, Kunta Kinte, hold him up in the air. And I don't know why I remembered that, but that's what I remember. I didn't remember, as I looked up about Roots, I didn't remember that one of the young actors was a man by the name of O.J. Simpson. Things have really changed since then, wouldn't you say? Today, we'd like to look back at our roots. We have been talking about family and relationships and marriage. We're probably at a third or fourth sermon regarding that, so those who are guests, you can understand where we're coming from. As we look back at our roots, we talked about that we were made in God's image. Amen? And that God pronounced his creation very good. And that includes you. Thank you, Brenda. Thank you. I got one amen. That includes you. God pronounced that you were very good. Then we talked about how God joined together Adam and Eve. He married them, and they became one flesh. God is into oneness, but the devil likes separation. And so we see a problem. There comes the serpent, also known, Dr. Berry, as the dragon, as you so aptly put, the symbol of China. The dragon, the devil, the Satan, He wants us to be separate. And so he deceived mankind. And then we find ourselves separating. And even to the point in Genesis chapter 3 where they sewed fig leaves together trying to hide their nakedness. You know that doesn't work. And things look bleak when we survey mankind and we look at chapter 3. But I want to show you some hope, if you would turn to Genesis chapter 4 and verse 1 very quickly. Genesis chapter 4 and verse 1. While you're turning there, I'm going to already tell you what it's about in the interest of time. Things look bleak, but there is hope. Right here in the first verse. Now Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. That is hope, believe it or not. In fact, one commentary said, another way of putting that is, I have gotten a man, the Lord. It's speaking about the promised Messiah, the messianic promise, and Eve is excited because she has gotten a man. I can imagine their home in Genesis chapter 4. It was like other homes, but then not like any other home. What a joy it must have been to have children in the home. What a joy it is for us to have children in the home. Children who are born, children who are adopted, children that we share. And so we see in Genesis chapter 4, the first two children, as far as we know, ever born. You see, when Adam was created, God formed him, you remember, of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a what, everybody? A living soul. He formed man. And how was Eve created? From a rib. Took one of the ribs out, and he had the first operation. And so woman Eve came from the side of Adam. But here we see with the two boys, we see the first instance, as we know, where on this earth, there was someone born of the womb of a woman. What an experience that must have been. And so we see the first family, the first siblings, Cain and Abel, the beginnings of the family, the establishment of society, the establishing of roots. Oh, they were so hopeful. Two boys, and this is just coincidental, David and Douglas. This is not about you, but it just happened to be that the first family was two boys. And there must have been joy in that home. And we don't know of all the joy as they grew up that they experienced in the home. All the expressions and the birthdays and the childhood happiness and the precious moments. We don't know about them, but it started off hope. Can you say amen? But then there's the devil. God likes oneness, and the devil likes separation. And so guess what happened? Even in the midst of all of the blessings and the fact that Eve now is really fulfilling being the mother of all living, and she is following the command to multiply and replenish the earth, she has accepted Genesis 3:15 of the promised deliverer. Zavid just says, a forlorn hope. Both the boys grew up to be fine young men. And they had professions. One was a keeper of sheep and the other was a farmer. And I'd like to say first, before I get into the other aspect, that there is joy in having children. Oh, I got a few amens. It's the truth. There's joy in having children. There's a lady by the name of Nancy Campbell that has compiled 101 reasons why we ought to have children. She's put that on the web, and she's gotten comments from others, so I'd just like to give you a few of them that she has gathered from many people. And she says, 101 reasons for heaven. I'm only going to do about 8 of them, okay? She says, we love receiving gifts and blessings from God. Amen? Another reason for having children, we love to see what God will think up next. Each child is unique and straight from the Father. She says, we'll have more people to love. Amen? We'll have more hands to help. Children brighten up the home. They make life interesting. Children teach patience. Amen. Parenthood is investing in eternity. Having children helps us to develop the godly character of servanthood. We get a lot of experience in sharing and communicating. Then there's the miracle of birth, because where there is life, there is hope. And I like this one. There are more people to pay for the aged's Social Security. I like that one, since I'm going to be there in 2 years. Amen? Yep. Need all of you children to help me out, since we're broke. You know that, right? You know Social Security is broke. So we need you, children. More future dishwashers. How many children have never washed dishes? You haven't lived until you wash dishes. Even though you have a dishwasher, your parents ought to have you wash dishes sometime. I know I won't go get many amens from the kids on that one, but it's true. And I like this one. You can buy cute baby and children's clothes even at the yard sales. And then the one with the most truth, it causes us to depend upon God moment by moment. Amen. Did you know that having children, men, would even bring your blood pressure down? That has been studied by J.E. Schwartz at Worcester State College in Massachusetts. Found that men had higher blood pressures at home. At work, but when they came back home and on the non-work days, when they played with their kids, their blood pressures went down. That's right. He's actually done a study on that. And so have kids, bring your blood pressure down. And so everything in this first family was fine. Is that right? You know the story. I wish it was, but the devil make sure that it wasn't fine. For in this home, we see the first crime that we know of, and the spirit of vengeance, and the first murder. And you know something? What baffles me, it happened in the name of religion. Isn't that something? Something that should have strengthened the home. It's in the name of religion that this happened. We shouldn't be surprised when we view the problems in the Middle East. We should not be surprised about warring between people of religious persuasions, but different religious persuasions, because it happened there in Genesis chapter 4. I have a book entitled The Good Son by Michael Gurion, who has researched the development of boys for over 20 years. I'd like to share with you some of his findings to talk about roots. You see, in regards to the world that we live in society, you know, mothers, you do the most important work there is on earth. And none of us would disagree with that. But oftentimes, I believe the work that's being done by men and by fathers is really not held up as it should. I think society has somehow pressed that down. Ed, and that's why I said I really pay attention to you and how you treat your boys.
That really inspires me. I want you to know that personally before you go. That inspires me how you deal with your boys, because it's so important. You know what we in society, you know what we look at it worth? For women, it is how they deal with their family and their children, and it should be, and it's important. But for men, it's our work. What do you do? And what do you do? What if what you do is take care of your kids and give them the love that they ought? Why shouldn't that be recognized more than it is?
I want to share something. You're going to disagree. You may disagree with me. I believe one of the problems and the issues. You see, God is in the oneness. The devil likes to separate. Guys, have you been hearing about what's been happening at Walter Reed? You following the news? Can I give you my take on that as a military man, what I think? Again, some may disagree. I believe what we see with Walter Reed is one of the problems that society heaps on us, and we embrace it. Those, whatever the condition of the barracks or whatever at the hospital, that didn't just happen. The mold just didn't happen a week or so on the wall and someone discovered it. That's been going on for a while. You know that, right? So what's going on? You know what's going on, I believe, my take on it? There are guys and young ladies in Iraq fighting, doing their mission, and it's hard. And if you happen to come back and find yourself back here and you come to the hospital, maybe you have something wrong, you know what the attitude is? Suck it up. There are people back there that have it rougher than you. Go in that barracks. Don't worry about a little mole. Oh, I knew I wasn't going to get no amens on that, but that's my take on it. That's the mentality that we heap on society, and especially on men. In fact, we operate like that. I wish I could say I've never operated that way. But that's the way it is. Stop whining about the accommodations when your brothers and sisters are way over there fighting. Stop whining. We have that mentality. When you take a three-year-old boy in with you to the movies to see Saving Private Ryan, don't ask me. Some of y'all don't know what I'm talking about, but it was a film made, Saving Private Ryan, with one of the in terms of a battle scene, it's the worst thing you could see. Why would you take a three-year-old boy in there? You want him to suck it up. You can take it. Someone said, a psychologist, William Pollack, said, if we don't let our boys cry tears, they'll cry bullets. When our children see 100,000 violent images in the media before they're 18, and then we let our boys see 80,000 sexual scenes and innuendos in the media by the time they hit puberty, we got problems. And our roots today are disturbing. And our whole nation needs to go into rehab, spiritual rehab. You know, God has given two boys, and I imagine Cain and Abel had it too, a natural assertiveness that God has put in them. Not problem child, not hyperactive. It's an assertiveness that God has given boys. What the author discovered is that really what helps them in dealing with that natural assertiveness that God has put in us is to have a close family that's well-disciplined and happy, and a closeness and that boys need structure and discipline and guidance. But you know what the author found of all of the things that he studied for 20 years? You know what he felt was the problem with men? Men, don't worry, I'm going to have a sermon for ladies coming up, all right? Don't despair. It won't be today, but it'll be in one of the series. You know what the problem he felt after 20 years of research? He's been to prisons, he's been to schools, he's been to churches. Man has really done his homework. He felt that the problem with men today was compassion, the lack of it. And if you don't watch it, society is making sure we don't have compassion. That's the problem in the world. Adult to adult, child to child, parent to child, nation to nation. We don't have compassion. We try and teach it. From our early years, we tell our children, in this house we share. Amen? We tell our children, speak respectfully, do the right thing. And the devil says, compassion? You start laughing. Okay, if that's what we should have, I'll fix society. And boy, has he worked on boys and men. We have the most violent non-war population of children in all the world, right here in the United States. Most of the violent acts per capita happen in this country more than any other place, and guess who does 90% of them? Males. Most of our children arrested for crimes in this country, 90% of them are males. 90% of those who are incarcerated are males. 80% of those with drug addiction and alcohol problems, male. Most of the boys in institutions, most of the homeless, those in foster care are males. I'm sorry to tell you that most of the mental disorders are males. The suicide rate that's gone up in the last decade or so is mainly among adolescent boys. The teenage pregnancy rate, we have the highest in the industrial world. 90% of males who impregnate young ladies abandon them. 90% of the problems in school are with males. The devil says, I'll fix you. And we think that most of the abuse happens to young ladies. But it doesn't. He studied 7,000. That's a serious study. Guess what he found out? Most of abuse happens to males, but they won't tell it. And I don't blame them. That's not a disgusting, that's not something that guys get together and bond with and start talking. You don't ever hear that. I mean, I've been with guys for years in the military. You never hear that subject come up. Whew, what a sermon, Pastor. Where's the good news? Let me tell you. We're in a dilemma, too, because we say that God is in the oneness, the devil's in the separateness, but yet as a family, we have a dilemma because as kids grow, guess what they want to do? They want to get away from home. They want to separate. And guys move more quickly than the young ladies. We can't wait to get out. In fact, we push them out. We say, stand on your own two feet. Isn't that what we say? We rear them as such. And
when you put together the testosterone and the assertiveness and our need to prove our worth and the separation model by other males, don't be surprised if your young man doesn't want to hug you anymore, doesn't want to touch you, doesn't want to kiss you. They're trying to separate. But you know what they found out? That time when they're thinking about and trying to separate is the most dangerous time morally. It's when they need home the most, when they're trying to get away. Where am I going? The answer is to get back to our roots. And it's not Cain and Abel. You know where our roots is, right? Our roots is Jesus. You see, when you're at that point, when you're trying to separate, it's when you need worship the most. It's when you need religion the most when you're trying to pull away from it. In fact, you'll spend a lot of your time out there looking for nothing and not finding it. Because what you need is right here, right now. And so that's why it's so hard to get men in church. I want to applaud the men in here today. What a man you are. Amen? You got it right. This is where we need to be. Do not let the devil steal a march on us like he did at the beginning. It's crucial that we recognize that our roots are in Jesus. And God the Father understands. Why do I know that? Because he sent down his son Jesus, Matthew 1:21, to save his people from their sins. He didn't shield his son from the world. He put his son in the world. Why? Because God so loved the world that he what, everybody? That he gave his only begotten or unique son. Why? So that you wouldn't perish, but have what, everybody? Everlasting life. That's love. That's love. Reading about Jesus in the book Desire of Ages. If you don't have that book, you need to get it and have it as a companion. Have it sitting there as you read your Bible. Just add, it said that Jesus was the fountain of healing mercy for the world. And through all those secluded years at Nazareth, his life flowed out in currents of sympathy and tenderness. The aged, the sorrowing, the sin burden, the children at play in their innocence, the little creatures in the grove, even the animals were all happier in his presence. He whose word of power upheld the world would stoop to relieve a wounded bird. Sounds like compassion to me. And if I'm not careful myself, I'll pass right by that guy on that corner with that sign up, "I'll work for food," or "Can you spare some change?" You know you've been there. You know you've said, "Why don't he get a job?" Then sometimes I feel a tug. Give the man a dollar. Let the Lord work that out. Have you been there? You've been there. You know what I'm talking about. Why? It's not going to rescue his life, but it will add a sense of compassion. And the more I can do that, the better off I am. Let me close with this one thought. I didn't finish the sermon. You know that, right? But I got to stop. It's a quarter of. Story about a family, mother and dad and the two children, the daughter and the son, both teenagers. They had a dog, and this will help you. I want to tell you what I want you to get out of this. This will help you to see there is a difference in compassion that you see from men. Amen? And it's not a bad thing. There is a difference. I want you to see that. And so the dog had an accident in the family room. And so the dad and the son was named Jake, 14. They wanted to put the dog outside for punishment. The dog was an inside dog. And the mom and the daughter was Kristen, 15, they wanted the dog to stay in. So they put the dog outside. And the dog just whined and whined and whined, wanted to come in. So the daughter went and got the dog and brought the dog back in. Jake, the son, got the dog and took the dog back out. Daughter couldn't stand it any longer. She said, "Why don't you be kind and caring? And let the dog stay in." Jake says, "I'm being kind. He needs to stay out so he can learn." And she says, "You're being such a guy." And she was right. And that's okay. I believe as we continue to develop, establish society, we need the compassion that guys bring that will help our children to learn lessons. And we need the compassion that ladies bring, which is another sermon for another day. That helps establish the world that we live in. But what we need most of all, man, woman, boy, or girl, is Jesus. He is at our roots. Every one of us in here today needs him in order to make it in this world. Do you believe that today? Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you for our roots. Our roots are in you. Where would we be without Jesus? Where would our world be without Jesus? We think there's a lack of love and compassion today. Without Jesus, we wouldn't be here. We'd be destroyed. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for families. We thank you for the families here at Fallbrook. Lord, we thank you for the family that we witness today, the Vetrano family. We thank you, Lord. We see a living example of compassion. They worked with their sons so that their sons could be ready. Oh, not just for the world. They'll get ready for that. Lord, you have readied them for eternal life. Oh, thank you, Jesus. What an example we've seen today. Lord, we need more of that, not less of that today. We thank you, Lord, for this glimpse, this ray of light. Bless us now. In Jesus' name. Amen.